chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are rest make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, and this evening we're going to start off with Greg Reese. He does some of these really fine synopses and conclusions of pronouncements that are very, very insightful. Here we go with Greg Reese, and he covers quite a few items and really insightful topics. Here we go with Greg Reese.
Nick Bryant, author of the book The Franklin Scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal, has become an expert on the subject of political blackmail and government cover-ups. He has been sounding the alarm that the same legal aberrations that occurred in the Franklin scandal have happened with Jeffrey Epstein and are happening in the Maxwell case, a cover-up from the highest levels of government.
Farmer says she reported the assault to the FBI, but she told us it wasn't for another decade, just before Epstein's first arrest in 2006, that an agent finally appeared at her door. Farmer says they never followed up.
They still haven't asked to talk to me. They are trying to pretend I do not exist.
It was reported to the FBI as early as 1996 that Jeffrey Epstein was trafficking children, and they did nothing. Nothing until 10 years later, when Palm Beach police began an investigation after a 14-year-old girl reported being molested. From their investigation, the Department of Justice was handed a list of 32 underage victims, and the cover-up ensued. With victims as young as 11 years old, they called only one witness, and Epstein was not indicted on a single count of child abuse. Instead, they charged him with one count of soliciting adult prostitution. He did just over a year on house arrest, like a VIP. Immunity was granted to all of Epstein's co-conspirators, and his victims were denied any opportunity for justice. Federal prosecutor Alexander Acosta said that he was told that Epstein belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone. This order could have only come from the Attorney General or the President. The Miami Herald exposed this all to the public in 2018. Governor DeSantis ordered an investigation, and local police were cleared of any malfeasance. Jeffrey Epstein was arrested and suicided in his jail cell. Thousands of sexually suggestive photographs were found, cataloged on computer disks. Former victim Maria Farmer described on mainstream television how Epstein was running a pedophile blackmail operation.
Epstein told her the whole house was wired with pinhole cameras and took her into the media room where they were monitored.
I looked on the cameras and I saw toilet, toilet, bed, bed, toilet, bed. I'm like, I am never going to use the restroom here, and I'm never going to sleep here.
Was there videotape?
Oh, yeah, it was all video, all the time, yeah. And I asked him one time, what do you do with this? And he said, I keep it. I keep everything in my safe.
Eventually, Ghislaine Maxwell was arrested. Unsealed documents from a defamation lawsuit between Maxwell and one of her victims revealed the names of those who had sexually molested the young victim, including Prince Andrew and Alan Dershowitz, who was one of the first to start pushing the idea of mandatory vaccines. That's how blackmail works. The judge for Maxwell's trial, Judge Allison Nathan, has already deemed the details of the Maxwell case too sensationalist and impure for the public, and was just recommended for promotion to the U.S. Court of Appeals by Chuck Schumer. Ghislaine Maxwell has trafficked scores of children for decades, some as young as 11, but is only being charged with one count. Epstein was brought in by Wexner, who had close connections with the mob, and handled by Maxwell, who was raised up by Israeli intelligence. This trial is about the rampant systemic use of pedophilia as a means of blackmail, and exposing it is absolutely paramount if we are to reform society. Nick Bryant has organized Survivors Standing with Survivors, 62 anti-trafficking organizations standing together for justice in the Maxwell trial. Bryant proposes three things to possibly save hundreds of thousands of victims: a truth and reconciliation committee to correct the law, retroactively abolishing the statute of limitations, and enforce the laws in the porn industry, pointing out how Pornhub has been busted 118 times for underage sex and still has a thriving business.
No, we're not going to stand for this. Our children cannot be molested with impunity, no matter how powerful or well-connected or wealthy their perpetrators are. They cannot be molested with impunity.
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
His reports are so powerful. I must commend Greg Reese for the report that he's been putting out like that, and that's why we're playing those clips. Coming up next is Paul Joseph Watson talking about Germany has fallen, and there's all kinds of things. We're going to put up a Dr. Colwell site also, and he is German, and he knows it even in more depth than Paul Joseph Watson, but this is what Paul Joseph Watson has to say about today's Germany. Here we go with Paul Joseph Watson. We're going to follow it by a member of parliament, George Christensen from Australia. Here we go with Paul Joseph Watson.
Germany has today become the next domino to fall. The unvaccinated will be banned from shops and every other area of society besides essential services. That means that the government is graciously still allowing them to buy food, at least for now. And that's basically it. So long as they properly segregate themselves from other vaxxed shoppers. Yeah, that's an actual supermarket in Germany. But they are banned from bars, restaurants, cinemas, all lifestyle, all culture, basically everything else. They've even told the unjabbed they're only allowed a maximum of 2 people inside their own homes over Christmas. No jab, no life. And pretty soon, no jab, no job, as authorities announced they'd make the vaccine mandatory by February. And for those who still refuse, well, it'll probably be the same as in Austria, but don't worry, they're not going to forcibly drag you off to a vaccination centre. They're just going to forcibly drag you off to a detention centre until you get vaccinated. See, they're nice, reasonable people. Before the vax was available, Germany was already incarcerating rule breakers in detention camps. Such facilities are really going to come in handy. Germany using emergency powers to segregate, stigmatize, persecute, and ultimately imprison an oppressed minority. What could possibly go wrong? I think I remember reading about something similar happening at some point in history. Can't for the life of me remember when. Germany and authoritarianism. Name a more iconic duo. The upcoming compulsory vaccination is the biggest political breach of promise in the history of the Federal Republic of Germany, says the former editor-in-chief of Bild. This is Angela Merkel's parting gift to her countrymen. Thanks, Angela. Life in Germany is already almost intolerable, even for the fully vaxxed. Getting a haircut in Germany is now worse than going through airport security.
So what he said, getting a haircut in Germany is much more difficult than going through airport security. Now, isn't that something? Oh my gosh. It's getting so ridiculously absurd, but it's not funny anymore. We've got to start standing up to this. And this is what makes it serious, is that next we have a clip from George Christensen. He's a member of parliament of the Australian parliament. And here's what he has to say. He brings up Mao Zedong and Stalin in his speeches. We're going to have his site in Paul Joseph Watson's Summit News site and all these others at the end of this first hour on our website. Our website is thesecrettruth.com. So go in there and you'll be able to pick up and on the full videos or audios that we have been playing this evening, just clips of, and you'll be able to hear the total interviews and so forth. And so this is what George Christensen had to say about the Australian situation now.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The totalitarian regimes responsible for the most heinous atrocities in the 20th century, think Stalin, Mao, Hitler, Pol Pot, they didn't get there overnight. They used fear to control. They excluded the dirty people, softly at first. They justified the exclusion. They moved to harder exclusions and eventually eliminated people, either socially or physically. In 21st century Australia, state premiers are racing down that familiar path, trying to out-tyrant each other, drunk on power, setting up their own biosecurity police states, complete with medical apartheid. Sadly, we've enabled it, refusing to rein them in, and worse, supplying the Australian Immunisation Register data that underpins this medical apartheid. Fear is the justification of choice for coercion and control, with non-vaccinated Australians increasingly demonised, ostracised and socially eradicated. In Queensland, the Premier tweeted that people not vaccinated raised red flags, not just one, but 22 of them. The media, politicians and health bureaucrats all claim COVID-19 is now a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but there is no justification for such demonisation. In a German study, 55% of symptomatic patients over 60 were fully vaccinated. Gibraltar, where all 34,000 residents are fully vaccinated, is recording 60 new cases a day. The totalitarian path, the path that we are unquestionably on, has never ended well.
That's a good point that he made, is that throughout the world, whether it's Israel or it's or the state of New Hampshire or whatever, the highest vaccinated locations, either statewide or citywide or countrywide, have the highest rate of infection. So the vaccine is the problem. And so I would advise people to stay away from the vaccine, period. And coming up next is a really good interview that Alex had with Robert Barnes. And they cover a plethora of differing items and topics that have to do with the outreach or the overreach, I should say, of our federal government, especially what Congress is doing, and especially this January 6th committee. And there's a lot of other things here. We're talking about a takeover through administrative law and the usurping of constitutional rights and rules and laws by the wrong branch. The legislative branch is trying to usurp some of the executive branch's powers. And so here we go with Robert Barnes and Alex next.
They're using that same emergency.
They're using nuclear war, bio war, end of the world provisions.
Exactly. To now mandate the vaccine for children. And so the suit we are filing here in Texas that I talked to clients and they signed up this week to add to the suit is parents who are concerned of the misuse and abuse of emergency powers to inject their kids with an experimental drug that the kids don't need, that is uniquely dangerous to the kids, for a virus that is not.
So World War III, end of the world, breaking case of nuclear war, bio war, emergency is being used here. And people need to know when they see Kramer on TV or they see all these people saying, let's just have the military go door to door. It's been done before. No, it hasn't. It was done in very select areas against poor people and black people and stuff like that. And it never got off the books, but people stop doing it. So just because there's some evil-ass law still on the books doesn't mean we follow it.
The way to think of it is these are all martial law-type provisions. These are provisions meant to only break in case of emergency. And what's happening is here we are almost 3 years now into this, and they're still using the same emergency excuses for extraordinary legal provisions to mandate that people take whether it's the OSHA rule, whether it's the Medicare rule.
And obviously it was a permanent emergency. Now people get it. It's never going to stop.
Oh, yeah, exactly, because there's going to be a new variant every other 6 months.
Can you believe Germany says February 1st, forced injections begin?
Exactly.
Door to door. That's going to be explosive.
And it's going to be constant. All these people who got the vaccine who said, okay, at least it won't be a problem. Even Jordan Peterson said he made the mistake of getting it, thinking they'd finally leave him alone. Now they're going to be booster shots over. In fact, employers are now already starting to announce that if to be fully vaccinated, you now have to go get your booster.
Oh, they've officially said a year and a half ago, Gates said, oh, this is every quarter you get a shot. It was always baked in.
It's going to be permanent. And then sooner or later, it's what else do they need to put in your body for the purposes of health or security or safety?
Well, they'd have the Omicron vaccines magically ready.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be constant. There's going to be new booster shots for each new variant. And even though it won't really work, they can't test it effectively to do so. And the DIN information that's now coming out, we also are looking at suit for our whistleblower because they lied about where she worked. The people that she worked for claim she didn't work for them. And yet we have the emails, the documents, the British Medical Journal confirmed it.
There's a lot of fraud involved.
They're willing. Why would they go to such great lengths to pretend that this whistleblower who blew the whistle on the complete lack of safety and efficacy in the vaccines for COVID-19, why would they pretend she wasn't even working for the COVID-19 Pfizer clinical trials? I mean, unless...
Because this is what criminal organizations do. I mean, this is Lex Luthor crap.
It's because of what she knows is so damaging and so damning that they had to lie about her working there. So we're going to bring suit against the people there. And one of the PR... we're going to sue people individually who were part of it. So a lot of these publicists are used to being able to lie for their clients without individual consequence, and there needs to be individual consequences. So
what we're going to go over this when we come back, but what do you make of the American Heart Association being censored by Twitter for saying, hey, there's an increased heart attack risk with Pfizer and Moderna on the label? They just pointed out there was a label, and they said, well, you're not allowed to scare people. So they don't want you reading the fine print. I mean, this is next level evil.
Well, that's one of the things we're adding to our suit, is really the they are illegally violating the advertising rules. Both the Sesame Street did this. CDC.
Yeah, you said that when you were on 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. And you look at the detail. I was going through all the different laws, and the laws require that they disclose this information. That anything that's any adverse side effects, it has to be disclosed in any advertising or promotion of any drug, period. And here the people violating these laws are the FDA and CDC themselves, because they're the ones putting out information about this vaccine that is mislabeled the vaccine. It's mislabeled as a vaccine in the first place. We're going to be challenging that as well and adding that to the system.
It's just a tissue of fraud.
Absolutely.
What do you call something when every, it's a giant complex house of mirrors?
I mean, what webs we weave when first we set out to deceive.
Robert Barnes, finish up getting into the suit you're now filing next week. Some of the other suits you're involved in, the big court battles that are happening, a lot of defeats for Big Pharma and the deep state. I think part of Omicron being released wasn't just a smoke screen, the CIA pedophile rings we'll cover next segment, but also to smoke screen all of this information coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I think, finally courts are stepping up, because it's so excessive and so egregious and so over the top to say that you can have an emergency right to using the emergency controls of OSHA, which is supposed to be about something happens at a particular plant or, in this context, like whether it's a bioweapon or something else.
A nuclear plant blows up, you can declare emergency in the area.
Exactly.
But you don't just declare an emergency because Fauci cooked a virus up.
Precisely. Or you have something go wrong in some place, we got a tornado hits a chemical factory, something like that. That's what the emergency rules are designed for. They haven't even used them in 30-plus years. And now they're using those to mandate a vaccine on over 100 million-plus Americans. Then they take saying they have regulatory control over Medicare and Medicaid. The law specifically says you cannot use this to dictate terms of employment or try to practice medicine. And what do? They use it to dictate the terms of employment and try to practice medicine, because that's what this is. Requiring someone to get a certain medical treatment is effectively the practice of medicine and has been considered as such, part of a suit that's pending in South Carolina.
Exactly. It's like Biden's our doctor. Fauci's our doctor. Bill Gates is our doctor. They don't even see us. They just say, I don't care if you have immunity. You'll take this.
Exactly. And so the courts have finally stepped in and said no to that. The Fifth Circuit ruled it was invalid. The Sixth Circuit is considering it now for all the circuits. Then on top of that, the federal court in Louisiana said this didn't have any basis. And here's the other thing that's good about all these court cases. They're actually finally putting the test of evidence to the claims made by those who support a vaccine mandate. And what has happened throughout this entire pandemic policy, public health interventions, is that when they face judicial scrutiny, when they face evidentiary scrutiny, they fail. And that's what happened. What the court mentioned in the Fifth Circuit case in OSHA, what the federal court in Louisiana mentioned, another federal court in Kentucky mentioned, another federal court in Missouri mentioned, what all of them are saying is, if you look at the evidence, there is no evidence at all that vaccine mandates will reduce any level of transmission or of the virus. Due, in fact, to the variants and the existence of the variants, and the variants constantly escape these vaccines, as they always have. We've never had a successful coronavirus vaccine in over a century of trying. There's going to be no such success here. More courts are recognizing that the evidence doesn't even support the very thin predicate by which they use these emergency powers to ram this down the American public. And now we're seeing additional examples of it. You go back to the advertising. What is FDA? FDA historically was a labeling agency. FDA was not a practicing medicine agency. It was supposed to be somebody to make sure that your green beans are actually green beans. It was back in the 19-teens and 1920s when people were mislabeling one kind of meat as another kind of meat.
It was there to verify that instead of somebody giving you corn syrup, it was really honey.
Exactly.
It was just to verify that what is in this container is what they say.
Precisely. What it never was supposed to be is
now, oh, it's secret. You can't know. Oh, secret government agreements.
These aren't really scientists either. I mean, this is not some master super scientific super medical institution. That's not what they are. These are bureaucrats checking labels. But one of the things they are supposed to do is make sure the label matches the advertising. So what you're talking about there is when the American Medical Association simply points out what is required to be in the label. And what is required to be in the label for these gene therapies disguised as vaccines is the risk of myocarditis, the risk of pericarditis, because it is so substantial, so substantiated, seen so repeatedly. We see it in athletes literally dropping dead around the world right in front of our eyes on camera or suffering severe health consequences live at a rate we've never seen before. And who is the biggest risk factor? Young men for these heart problems from these vaccines.
And just going back to what you were just talking about the American Heart Association and other U.S. senators being censored, saying, well, the WHO doesn't agree with that. Why don't the senators and the House members and the American Heart Association and others get mad as institutions that say, what is the UN doing saying the American Heart Association can't point out that on these vaccines there's been a warning? I mean, that's like, why can't the American Heart Association say blood's red? Well, blood's really red, but you're not the UN, so you're not allowed to say it.
What's amazing here is the law actually requires that to be disclosed. The law requires all of the side effects to be listed. The law requires all the risks to be
listed. So why such an insane hubris and arrogance? I mean,
well, because the truth will set ordinary people free, but the truth will be a problem for those people who are trying to force this down everybody's throat.
So this is all desperation. So why did they launch such a desperate operation? Because if I wanted to destroy myself, if I was the power structure, I would start a fight like this.
I think there's probably a lot of reasons for their motivation, but look at their history. Historically, nobody's meaningfully fought back. Historically, most people have fought.
So psychos always go too far. They always, in criminology, just...
And historically...
It's like when psychopaths call the police department up, I'm going to kill tonight, you can't stop me. They just get reckless and more reckless.
Completely. And historically, they have known that a lot of people around the world won't fight back. I mean, when eugenics came through in the beginning of the 20th century, very few people fought back. Connie Buck didn't even have her own lawyer. It was a lawyer working for the other side in secret. So, I mean, the ordinary person, usually at Korematsu, a few people fought back and they lost. So the system is used to winning and prevailing under these circumstances.
So that's why, and they just see a bunch of people they think are weak, so why not kill us?
Exactly, just run them over. And they're used to it working, and they are surprised at the degree of pushback, and when they get pushback, what do? They become more and more desperate.
Like Hitler in his bombing campaign of England that turned the Brits towards
war. So many people say to me, Alex.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Very, very honored to be here. Robert Barnes riding shotgun with me. I don't like to make myself the subject of the show. It's just the enemy always does that. It's all over the news. Here's a headline on a Gateway Pundit. January 6th committee chairman Benny Thompson says if you exercise your constitutional right by pleading the Fifth Amendment, you're guilty. That's coming up next hour because this affects all Americans. And in the civil suits run by the Democratic Party against us, they said we're defaulted, and that violates the Seventh Amendment completely on its face. So this is the real tyranny going on. And the incredible part is Owen Schroyer was never subpoenaed. Owen Schroyer was never deposed. He was deposed yesterday after he's defaulted. And how do you do that? No one's ever even heard of anything like this. They just do it, folks. And that's why if I go before that committee and tell the truth about what we did, it's all on video, it's all on record. We had a bunch of rallies in D.C. in the months preceding it. We went there to try to get them to have a 10-day investigation. And if I say the sky was, what color was the sky that day, Mr. Jones? Well, it was kind of gray and blue with some clouds and cold. Well, I thought the sky was purple. Way off at the edge of my binoculars, I could see a little purple spot. 5 years in prison, sonny boy. And so they've got ongoing criminal investigations hovering around this. We'll hit this next hour, but just a couple minutes on this, Barnes, and we'll get into the Ghislaine Maxwell cover-up and what's happening there on the new CIA child trafficking and where they admit it's going on. But what would you call this period? Just martial law?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's de facto martial law because it's using all the emergency powers. It's weaponizing the criminal justice process. I mean, right now, for example, they're going after everybody who did anything involving challenging the elections, including going after the lawyers. So, I mean, the story leaked, it's clearly agreed.
Oh, they're saying in these subpoenas that there's no attorney-client privilege.
Exactly. I mean, and they're doing a criminal grand jury investigation right now of everybody who donated money to this, to Sidney Powell or to Defend the Republic or to General Flynn. I mean, that came out of the Washington Post, and it's coming clearly from the U.S. attorney circle.
And I think of the chilling effect there.
Complete. And this is why is D.C. the middle of this? Why is the Southern District of New York always in the middle of this? Why do these two offices have such control over people that don't? I mean, Sidney Powell lives in Texas. She's not from. General Flynn isn't.
They're political commissars. They're black holes.
Exactly. I mean, they're nothing more than Soviet Stasi style police and Soviet and Stasi style prosecutors using the same methods and the same methodologies as those. I've told people right now, for example, what January 6th defendant can get an impartial jury trial in the District of Columbia? That would be like expecting Martin Luther King to get a fair jury trial in front of an all-white jury in 1950s Birmingham. It's not going to happen. So it's the same problem. In fact, I mean, Richard Barris, to his credit, has done the polling data that substantiates this. People should be looking at moving to transfer various proceedings. But this illicit effort to comment on Fifth Amendment rights that you're seeing a congressman do is exactly what they tried to do in the Rittenhouse case. They tried to, the prosecutor, Little Binger, tried to illicitly comment on Kyle asserting his Fifth Amendment rights prior to taking the stand, which was a patent violation. And as the judge, to his credit, said, was a violation of 50 years of law. And here you have a congressman doing the same thing.
Exactly. When the judge goes, hey, wait, you just probably crossed the line on one of the biggest violations you could do, claiming someone's a criminal if they declare their fifth. Did you just do that? Because I'll mistrial you right now. But because everybody knows you don't do that. So what do you make of him? We'll play it next hour on TV saying Alex Jones is a criminal if he declares the Fifth Amendment.
I mean, it's a patent violation of the Fifth Amendment. And it's important to recognize the Fifth Amendment applies to everybody. So all government actors cannot illicitly comment on the Fifth Amendment. So it's this whole committee is a joke. This committee is not a legislative committee. It should have no power to subpoena anybody.
Well, that's right. The chairman of the committee really is like the circus master.
Not only that, I mean, there's a good letter in response by other lawyers to this same committee pointing out there's not even a ranking member properly appointed by Congress to even make a proper objection to. I remember when the Senate Intelligence Committee was investigating clients of mine and I objected on various constitutional grounds. They ultimately backed off. That was a problematic committee in terms of their activity. This committee shouldn't even exist. It's made up by Congress not to do legislation, but to do political witch hunt activity.
And a few Republicans on the committee are neocon thoroughbreds.
Exactly. They're not appointed by the regular constitutional process by which Congress establishes its own rules. So these are illicit subpoenas, illicit summonses. This is an illicit attempt and now illicit commentary in violation of people's Fifth Amendment rights.
We'll hit it more next hour. We already, you're just like me. We're getting into it now, but let's shift gears into Ghislaine Maxwell and that trial and Comey's daughter's the prosecution. They're very narrow. I mean, you talk about the fix being in. They are just like Epstein got his neck broken in three places. I mean, they are breaking America's neck right in front of us.
The whole goal of the prosecution has been to use this case to limit the scope of inquiry, to make sure key names like the Clintons and others were never brought up, to make sure that how Epstein got his money, which has never been explained, never comes up. Instead, that Robert Maxwell's name, the father of Ghislaine Maxwell, never comes up. The history of all the different intelligence agencies connected to her and her father and Epstein never come up. And in fact, that's what the prosecution has done. They're keeping it very limited. They're making it sound like the only person who ever victimized any of these individuals was just Epstein, not all of his pals and buddies.
Well, I forget the exact quote we covered a few days ago, but when the trial started, the judge said, anything that's lewd or bad or, you know, shocking will be covered up. I mean, she said, we're not going to let anything shocking come out.
And,
well, I mean, you did this. They're raping children. They're running sex slavery. I mean, I'm sorry. Everybody gets to hear about it.
They're filming the trial inside the courtroom, but they're only allowing other people at the courthouse to watch that video trial. Why not let the entire world have public access to the trial to see what's really going on, to see what's really happening, to see what the evidence really is? They don't want that to happen.
I mean, isn't this judge, by doing this, who just got nominated by Schumer for appellate court? I mean, if you cover up something, don't you become a party to it?
Well, I mean, it goes back to, remember the Pentagon Papers case. Remember what happened? The federal judge, the Nixon administration, was secretly talking to him behind the scenes, say they would make him head of the FBI or whatever else he wanted, as long as he made sure that he convicted Ellsberg. So is it really a coincidence that's right on the eve of this judge handling this trial, all of a sudden the Biden administration says, hey, we'll make you a prestigious Second Circuit judge? But after the trial is over, I mean, it looks like a quid pro quo.
And Ellsberg did the right thing because he's at the Pentagon. And they're going, the war is unwinnable, but we're going to keep doing it forever. And he goes, screw this. We're injecting children. We've got pedophiles running things. This is insane.
Well, no, I mean, here's what's amazing. How is it, given the tight ties between Bill Gates and Bill Clinton and these other people with the Epsteins, that Bill Gates' name has not come up at all, but Donald Trump's name has come up like five times? It tells you how the Southern District of New York's entire objective was to manipulate these proceedings so that key Democratic allies would not be exposed for their long history of misconduct and personal malfeasance in this precise space. And that's why this sex trafficking ring has stayed very limited, because the prosecution is manipulating the case to make sure the full evidence never comes out.
And let's go to this next point. Here it is. CIA covered up staff sex crimes against children. Child sex abusers at CIA avoided prosecution. Jeffrey Epstein visited the Clinton White House 17 times we know of, and now they've found 700-plus new FAA records that don't have Trump's name on it. And I'm not defending Trump, just they keep bringing him up at trial with no evidence when these guys were all there, including Bill Gates.
Exactly. The whole goal is to divert attention, to make this look like it was a limited deal, that it doesn't implicate or it has no ramifications for Wall Street people, for Bill Gates, for Bill Clinton, for a lot of Democratic key allies, Bill Richardson, other people that were known to be very tight to Epstein and involved with
him. And notice, while this whole critical preparation to end the dollar, bring us on this new currency, collapse the country, the trials right now to remind all the thousands that were part of the sex ring, hey, we could burn you anytime we want.
Right.
The trial's live right now.
Exactly. It's a reminder that they ultimately control it, that all these people work for them at some key level. Which, I mean, Ghislaine Maxwell knows that personally, because when her father was going to talk, he all of a sudden fell off a boat and drowned. So, I mean, her father was tied to the Soviets, to Mossad, to the CIA, to MI6.
And just look at all the Hollywood people on that plane.
I mean, it's just big name after big name after big name after big name. And yet somehow...
I'm really surprised Woody Allen's on there.
Yes, I mean, it's I can't get into it. There may have been records.
Saying a fox is in a hen house.
Yeah, exactly.
Woody Allen's on a pedophile plane? Come on, I don't believe that.
Or
it's ridiculous.
Or his ex. Remember the ex? What's her name? The famous actress. Her brother was a long pedophile.
Oh, it's all a bunch of sick freaks, man.
Once you're around Hollywood, you understand that culture is just sick at its core. But their ability to keep all this secret is impressive. To have a criminal prosecution that's a show trial that's mostly about what they're not showing.
Well, they've done a great job keeping it to like the 14, 15, 16-year-old young women who are little girls still. But, I mean, no, folks, they're strangling 5-year-old children to death from my research. Robert Barnes riding the shotgun with us. I'm Alex Jones, your host. And we got a Gateway Pundit article right here. I was asking Barnes what he would have hit next. It was this. January 6th, committee chairman Benny Thompson says if you exercise your constitutional right by pleading the fifth, you're guilty. And they're voting for another contempt charge against another person that's been subpoenaed, saying they want to put him in jail for years over that. On Wednesday, the sham committee, reading from the article, voted to hold former Trump DOJ official Jeffrey Clark in contempt for defying a subpoena. And here is a clip of what he said on Mr. Manow's show last night.
Illegal. And rather than be responsible and answered, he's pleading the fifth. Now, the question is, did you participate in these illegal activities in the White House? As you know, he recommended a process by which the elections could be manipulated in certain states. Well, that's clearly illegal. But we need to hear from him whether or not he said it. We have reason to believe he did. But if he's of the opinion that if I come before the committee and acknowledge that, then I have contributed to the January 6th insurrection in part simply because I made a recommendation that ultimately led states to believe that they could overturn the election. Look at what went on in Arizona. Look what tried to go on in Michigan. Look at Georgia. We had the Secretary of State in Georgia basically say the president called me and tried to get me to somehow find enough votes to change the outcome of the election. Well, this is part of what we believe Mr. Clark knew about and part of his recommendation. That's why he needs to come before the committee. But if he's saying, okay, I'll come, but I'll plead the fifth, then in some instances, that says you're part and parcel guilty to what occurred.
Okay, so Robert Barnes is a constitutional lawyer looking at that. I mean, I'm literally in this guy's crosshairs. The idea, everything Trump did, Trump listed in the phone call, which they edited but later got released, all the evidence of the ballots they found and the fraud. He said, you know, you found that, show it. You know, just show the fraud. It's there. He didn't say go find it and make it up. He said it's there. Just show it. Now it's been vindicated in all those states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, on and on and on. We know that now. But to have him up there then saying, oh, questioning elections is illegal, we were there protesting for a 10-day Senate investigation in the Constitution that what Democrats 4 years before called for, Barnes.
Yeah. There's several problems. First of all, Congress has no constitutional authority to do what he's talking about. They have no constitutional authority to go around and act like they're the executive branch. This is the legislative branch trying to usurp the constitutional authority that is exclusive to the executive branch.
Just like they're doing on the presidential privilege, saying Trump should give his records over.
Absolutely. Congress can only do investigations and can only subpoena information and can only subpoena witnesses if it has a legislative purpose. In other words, it has to be for knowing where there's issues for the purposes of...
If the Congress passes a highway bill and they find out a bunch of it got stolen, they can subpoena the people.
Exactly. They could also do so if they wanted to pass a new law, for example, governing that process, then they could. Here, what he's admitting is that they're inquiring as to whether somebody made certain statements that could be used against them for criminal purposes. That is not the authority...
Yeah, they got prosecutors all over TV, former and current, going... We're going to use this to find dirt on them to indict them. And you're like, oh, well, then just tell them. No, they'll say anything we say is criminal.
It is. They have no authority in the first place to exercise. Just because an agency has a summons or subpoena power, just because Congress has a subpoena power, doesn't mean they
this
can...
This is like Congress announcing offices all over the country for law enforcement.
Exactly, which is what they're doing.
When do they get a Praetorian Guard?
Precisely. I mean, Capitol Police has no business outside of the District of Columbia.
So it's a giant power grab.
Absolutely. They want a secret police, and now they want the authorities as if they were the grand jury. And now they want to be able to refer people for criminal...
So they're usurping all powers themselves that has a name. It's called dictator.
Absolutely. And it's a power that our Constitution deliberately, as the court in Louisiana just recently said the whole purpose of a tripartite method of government is that different branches of government handle those responsibilities accountable
That's
to
That's why them. Our system is way superior than the parliamentary.
Absolutely. Is that no one branch of government, no one person within government has all of the powers of government.
Very powerful interview there. And coming up next is a pronouncement by Laura Logan being interviewed by Judge Janine, and also who's putting in some advice to Dr. Siegel. But there are people that are on Fox that are making pronouncements, well-intentioned like Dr. Siegel, but they're not really clued in. But Laura Logan says, is this going to continue on forever? So, but the very interesting points that both of them made, even Dr. Siegel, he made some good points too. So here we go with that interview.
Breaking tonight, a Biden travel ban is set to take hold on Monday. This administration will prohibit anyone from 8 African nations from entering the United States in just over 24 hours from now. It is a stunning move considering the political pushback Biden and his leftist pals gave President Trump at the beginning of the pandemic. Here with reaction is Fox Nation host Lara Logan, and you can watch part 3 of the new season of Lara Logan Has No Agenda, Global Extremism on FoxNation.com, along with Fox News contributor Dr. Mark Siegel. All right, guys, thanks so much for being with us. Now, I find it rather fascinating, Dr. Siegel, that right now the Biden administration says, and he got it wrong, he said South Africa and 6 other countries, it's South Africa and 7 other countries, but what a shock, he got it wrong. They're preventing them from coming to the United States, but we don't have any cases in the United States, do we?
Well, as far as we know, we don't, Judge, but I have to tell you, the World Health Organization sat on this for weeks. They were asleep at the switch, as usual. They have an office in South Africa, as Lara Logan knows, and they didn't warn anybody. And I think that by now it is in the United States. So they're putting on a travel ban Monday? What about between now and Monday? This is
exactly
a very limp response, and I don't think it's going to really have an effect.
Well, you know what, Larry? You know what strikes me? That this Omicron, you know, instead of calling it the South Africa virus, they took weeks to figure out a new name so nobody could say it's the virus from the variant from South Africa. Isn't it interesting that they decided to name it this before we even heard about it?
Well, the last variant, you know, Delta, they said, started in South Africa. And what people are seeing, Judge, is that over time, the entire response to COVID is being exposed for its failures. If you look at Sweden with no lockdowns and no vaccinations, and look at the death rate there, over time, what they're realizing is they can't justify forced vaccine mandates for a disease that is treatable and that is easily and very cheap to treat.
All right.
And so what they're doing, you can almost put money on it that every time they need another variant, one will surface.
Okay. And so, Dr. Siegel, look, New York Governor Hochul signed an executive order, and she said she has put an end to elective surgeries in New York before we even know we have this in the United States or in New York. So that is as of today. So let's say I have a broken bone and I want to have it, you know, I want to have it fixed in surgery. They can't do it now because she's got to make sure that there are hospital beds available. Is she nuts?
This is for community hospitals, mostly upstate, and your point is right. What about all the people that were waiting for cancer surgeries or for screenings? Everything's put on hold. Public health is not about a virus. It's about overall impact of impacting the virus. Same with lockdowns, the point Lara was making. It's ridiculous to do this when not a single case is here. It's going to cause tremendous harm needs to be given.
Well, in addition to that, I mean, we don't know what the lethality is. And by the way, I just found this out. The CDC says that only 6% of COVID deaths occurred without significant other lethal diseases. That means only 6% of them, of the people who have COVID, died of COVID. Everybody else died of something more significant. But having said that, we have no evidence that this has a greater lethality than anything else. Do we, Dr. Siegel?
No, I'm concerned about long-term effects of the virus, and I am a big believer in the vaccine and in treatments, but the thing that the administration is really getting wrong is no testing. I mean, we should have an Operation Warp Speed for testing here, with a test in every house in America. There's no Operation Warp Speed like President Trump had. This is Operation Snail's Pace. This is Operation by Committee.
No, you know what this is?
Let's revisit. Let's rethink.
All right, but Lara, what this is, gee, maybe they're going to lock us down for the holidays. I mean, you know, they knew about it for weeks, and then they just tell us about it. What do you think is going on here?
Judge, if they keep testing for different strains of coronavirus, we're going to be locked down for the rest of our existence. I am, you know, I had cancer. My oncologist is a specialist in bone cancer. And he, you know, every oncologist who deals with bone cancer identifies hundreds of coronaviruses inside of our bones. They've created a problem that can never actually be solved. So they can justify whatever it is they want to do. And if you look around you, everything is falling apart. Even the vote audits are going ahead. Durham is moving ahead. Over time, people can see that the vaccines have nothing to do with Trump or left or right. Many black people don't want to get vaccinated. Okay. You cannot justify losing 3,000 to 5,000 Border Patrol agents, 12,000 pilots, you know, for something that has the death rate of flu. And even if this is lethal, Americans have the right under the Constitution to their civil liberties, and they can only be suspended temporarily for it to be lawful.
Let me go to Dr. Siegel. Last word, Dr. Siegel.
I have a complete agreement. The cost of lockdowns is tremendous. The cost of our society, economically, psychologically, physically, has been tremendous.
Okay.
And it's going to outweigh any other damage here. Great time for science, bad time for politics.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Mark Siegel is a fine person. He doesn't really have it together on this vaccine because he still believes in the modern medicine model. And it's inevitable, just like Rand Paul is still, you know, holding on to that modern medical model because he's a doctor. So if you're looking at the medical schools and the doctors that came out of those, they're still believers in somewhat of the vaccine. But there's obvious evidence that the vaccine has been creating the epidemic. And so that's why I advise, in my opinion, I advise against the vaccine. And the vaccine is also creating miscarriages in women that were pregnant that took the shot. And there's other overwhelming evidence of young, you know, postnatal care of children, newborns that have damaged hearts. So it's not anything to kid about. So anyway, we're coming up next with Jason Burmess. He was the producer of Loose Change, which was a series of videos about 9/11 truth. And he has some really insightful things to say about Bill Barr and all these other people that were actors in some, you know, subverting, you could say, President Trump's authority and ability to govern. But they all came together. It's a big system. It's a deep state, and the swamp is pretty deep. And anyway, this is Jason Burmess giving us some really insightful things.
I look into
We are back. I'm Jason Burmess, sitting in for Alex Jones in the fourth hour. We're talking Bill Barr and BCCI. Now, for those that are not aware of what the BCCI scandal is, it was a scandal in which you had those working in the Iran-Contra network, those working in the then Bin Laden network, and then a slew of other power players in politics and drug running getting caught up in a huge banking scandal. And guess what? The intelligence networks were involved, and that's why they called in their man, Bill Barr, to work with their man, Robert Mueller, to cover up the vast majority. Before I play this clip, I need people to understand that Bill Barr is lifelong CIA. He was in the Central Intelligence Agency before he became a lawyer. Okay, that's number one. Then he was chosen by Mr. CIA himself, George Herbert Walker Bush, as his attorney general, one of the youngest ever. I believe the only two younger under him were Robert Kennedy Jr. and Ramsey Clark. Ramsey Clark, actually a very good man. So let's play this clip, and you're going to find out a little bit about BCCI and how behind the scenes Bill Barr was kind of negotiating all the work for the probe, okay? And all the focus was then on Robert Mueller, who not only will become his adversary in Russiagate, but also was put as the head of the FBI right as the 9/11 thing got going and obfuscated the truth there and put down whistleblowers, including Robert Wright, Barry Carmody, and others. So let's play this clip.
Attorney General Designate Barr faces likely questions on speed of BCCI probe. What's that about?
As you know, that's probably the largest bank scandal to hit town in many a moon. And he's going to be asked about why the Justice Department didn't move faster on obvious leads. I think it will come out that in July, he took charge of this and began pushing for more speed. And while all the attention is focused on Assistant Attorney General Robert Mueller, who heads the criminal division, I think it'll turn out that Barr had quite a role.
So again, working with Mueller back in the day, this is how this works. And I would be remiss if I did not note, okay, that it was reported that Bill Barr visited Epstein's prison prior to the first suicide attempt. Of course, the factcheck.org people have said it's a baseless claim that Barr was there. But when you look at this, think about it. You've got two different incidents. You've got no camera footage whatsoever. You've got a prison in MCCC that kept El Chapo and had not had another suicide for 13 years. Okay, those are the things they don't want you to understand. So Bill Barr, never your friend, somebody that needed to really be looked at from the beginning. And again, a failure of the Trump administration to put somebody like that in power. And of course, that came to roost via the 2020 election. Okay. And when we talk about BCCI and them covering up all this Iran-Contra, you look at these networks. Now we have to talk about Ghislaine Maxwell and her father, Robert, and why that's important. Okay, because that Iran-Contra network, we're not going to play the clip, but anybody can check out my film, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, for free. And in it, we have a large section, by the way, produced by InfoWars. In it, we have a large section in which we go over the fact that the Israelis were the ones that were buying the guns from Czechoslovakia and Poland, sending them down to South America. The drugs would be shipped up into Florida and MENA and then distributed. That money would then be reimbursed to the Israelis, giving plausible deniability and this network. Now, at the same time this is going on, right, during the 80s, there's this media mogul. You know, media, because, you know, there was no fake news back then, right? It wasn't intelligence-driven back then, named Robert Maxwell, that places like the Associated Press were telling you it was a hoax. It was a hoax that Seymour Hersh, one of the last few journalists living in this generation, still alive today, and we're going to get into Hersh and the Trump presidency in a moment, okay? Hersh hoaxed over claim of new evidence on Maxwell-Israel link, because Maxwell, this media mogul, was really an Israeli asset, Mossad asset, connected to British intelligence. And these were the type of headlines at the time. Mirrorgate, a press empire, strikes back. Scandal. Seymour Hersh has been accused of libel because of book linking British journalists with Israeli Secret Service. Notice this is amplified and it's all over the place, right? 3 years later, gets a nice little side article right there. See how little the side article is? Tiny? Yeah. U.S. author gets apology in libel case. And by that time, Robert Maxwell had already fallen off his boat and died, the Lady Ghislaine. Okay? So this is the real deep state. This is the real intelligence network that you might get flavors of conservatism or liberalism, but at the core of it, they're all working together. And you know, just to talk about Assange for a moment, okay? You had Julian Assange and the fact that Trump knew that he was not the source of those documents through Russia. In other words, all the DNC documents out there. Seymour Hersh is on audio talking about how he had an FBI asset of his, who ends up in court papers to be Andrew McCabe, by the way. Okay, the deputy director of the FBI and somebody who was vocally against the Trump administration. Anybody can look into that as well. And in it, he not only says that the information seems to have come from Seth Rich, but this whole Russiagate thing is a Brennan operation. He says that, you know, that, yes, it was Seth Rich. And it was really Trump's arrogance by sending Dana Rohrabacher in to see Assange, and Assange still refusing to give up his source, as he had done. He said, look, all this information's public. I don't need to give up the source and not cut the deal with Trump. And Trump failed, man. Trump is, you know, somebody who took money from Sheldon Adelson, who headed up UC Global, right? That was his company, who worked with the CIA in plotting to kidnap and possibly kill Assange. Huge failure. Cassandra Fairbanks, she had audio tapes of one of Rick Reynolds' assistants talking about how they had showed Trump and Trump Jr., Don Jr., these pictures of sometimes women and children that they said had died because of the information that Assange had leaked, okay, because of this WikiLeaks stuff. All nonsense. And it's because of that that I believe Trump signed off on the National Counterintelligence Strategy 2020 to 2022. And, you know, there's a really telling part in this where ideologically motivated entities such as hacktivists, leaktivists, and public disclosure organizations pose the same significant terrorist threats as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Iran, Cuba, and North Korea. Think about that. No. Listen, we need public disclosure organizations. We need ideologically motivated entities that are ideologically motivated in telling the truth. So on the flip of this, when we come back, I'm actually going to play a clip of Donald Trump talking trash in front of the World Economic Forum in 2020, and Klaus Nutschwab will get to it. SaveInfoWars.com is where you can make an impact right now and save independent journalism.
We
We are back. I'm Jason Berman, sitting in for Alex Jones in the fourth hour. We're going to move away from Epstein and the Ghislaine Maxwell case. If you want to see more coverage on that, I would encourage you to check out my Rockfin, where I'm not being censored. In fact, YouTube hit me with a strike two for apparently cyberbullying Epstein from a January 2020 video after he had not killed himself for the second time. Weird. I don't know how you cyberbully a dead person. Maybe you're right. I cyberbullied Ghislaine Maxwell. We're not sure. But I want to move this portion of the program into the fourth industrial revolution and this masquerade that somehow human beings are killing the planet and we need to regulate everything they do, give them a social credit score based on their carbon usage and how much they listen to the state in this New World Order repackaged Great Reset agenda, and give Trump some credit here. Now, what we're about to watch is Donald Trump talking at the World Economic Forum, yes, in front of Klaus Nutschwab, Mr. Not everybody can be a robot polisher. Oh, not everybody. Oh, thank you so much. After talking about some of the positives of his administration, and I would actually agree with this. He talks about energy independence. He talks about more money being in the pocket of regular Americans. That happened to me. I saw all these things and how people were then buying our energy, real competition with China financially. And then he gets into this about how the controllers and the doomsayers are doing these things because they just want more power, and that is not the way. And I got to think that the vast majority of people sitting watching what we're going to watch, about a minute and a half of this clip, were extremely uncomfortable when Trump started ripping this off. So let's get to the clip.
Continue to show strong leadership in restoring, growing, and better managing our trees and our forests. This is not a time for pessimism. This is a time for optimism. Fear and doubt is not a good thought process, because this is a time for tremendous hope and joy and optimism and action. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. They are the heirs of yesterday's foolish fortune tellers, and I have them, and you have them, and we all have them. And they want to see us do badly, but we don't let that happen. They predicted an overpopulation crisis in the 1960s, mass starvation in the 70s, and an end of oil in the 1990s. These alarmists always demand the same thing, absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country, or eradicate our liberty. America will always be the proud, strong, an unyielding bastion of freedom.
And I wish that that were the case. But you see how far along we've come with COVID-1984, and you got to ask the question, is it true?
Just that concludes our program for this evening. A little bit of end notes here. Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's father, was connected with the Mossad, but also he was publisher of Pergamon Publishing, that eventually published Changing Images of Man. And look that up on the web. And Changing Images of Man was putting out a way to change the world and concluded with perennial philosophy. And they say in there that the Christian belief system is archaic and needs to be reworked and redone. So these are the same people. You're talking about Robert Maxwell, the people at the top. Don't believe them. They're just trying to transform this world into what they want to do. So anyway, thank you for listening. Good night.